Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm your main man, CG.
And today we have Chris Netzel with us. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you? How's
good.
It over in Texas?
It's hot and rainy. Hurricanes.
Hot and rainy.
How hot is it? Because it's 90 here in Pennsylvania. How hot is it down there?
So let me see the exact temperature right now. It says it's 80, but that's only because it's been raining all day. All right.
Does it get stupid like 100?
Yes.
Okay, got you.
So it gets a little sweaty out there. That's all right.
Oh, you'd be a sweaty mess out there.
I sweat like a fat kid, man. It's a problem.
Sometimes at night when I do those streams, I'll get done and I'll have to like bring another shirt and just wring the sweat out. That's how yuck it is down here. But that's all right, you know. Maybe one day we'll get into a little less humid spot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it. How did you become a paranormal investigator? Like, how did you start going out to cemeteries and different haunted buildings? What instigated this?
It's actually a funny story. I started off being a content creator, a live streamer, doing gaming. I've never really been the type to be able to sit down behind a computer screen and hold still. So that's always been kind of an issue for me, but I noticed that it was failing and I didn't want to fail. Right. So I got picked up by a live agency on TikTok, and they said, Chris, we love your message. And have you ever considered making your brand about yourself? And I didn't really know what to do at the time, to be honest with you. And I started catching an algorithm on YouTube about a paranormal investigation. I was like, there's no way. There's no way this can be real. People got to be lying. Right. And I reached out to a friend of mine. Her and her husband were in the paranormal industry. And I was like, you know, I want to prove to myself that this is real or disprove others. And so we started investigating and we just recorded it initially. And then I started streaming on TikTok, and here we are now. I never would have guessed in my wildest dreams that at 40 years old, right, I would be out talking to ghosts all the time and that it would be as real as it is. So
I mean, though, your voice is buttery smooth, man. I can't lie right now. So like, that's part of it. It's not just the paranormal stuff. It's that buttery smooth voice as well.
DJI, huh? Yeah. So it's been a real, it's so hard to explain and really word to people just how you can experience these things. And then, you know, going from skeptic to believing in it, just how real it is. There's times in the streams when I just get quiet, but I'm getting quiet because I'm like, is this real life right now? You know, so it's a really, really cool path. I go about it a little differently. I don't go antagonizing to try and get reactions or whatever. I try and learn more and understand more. And it's been very humbling. It truly has.
Dude, what time is it when you're out in these cemeteries, man? Like, do you go only late night? Like,
yeah, that's pretty much it. For obvious reasons of I don't like to deal with traffic, and I don't like to deal with people that are nosy and whatnot, you know? So it's just easier to do it at night. But also, you know, I've been the police. I was in the Marine Corps, general manager, one of the biggest nightclubs here in Houston. And all those were night shifts anyway, so I'm kind of used to it.
You're a night owl. Gotcha.
Yeah, yes, sir. Are you
by yourself when you do these?
Yes, I am.
You're by yourself at like 3 a.m. in a cemetery?
99% of the time I'm by myself. Very rarely do I have somebody with me.
You got balls, man.
It gets a little scary. I would say more the most problem that I've had is like human involvement of people being awkward and stream sniping and showing up and doing weird stuff. But you know, I stay prepared. Worst case scenario, right? So
yeah, like, because if I was there, I think that I could suck you into like a fear hole because of how scared I was.
I'm saying
like it's contagious. The fear is contagious, and I'm pretty scared, dude, for like a big man. And so I don't know. I would love to come see this stuff, but you know,
yes,
me and Kate are getting into it. And we're gonna do some. I don't know if we can do late night though. I don't know if I would.
It's a whole different ball game because we did a Bigfoot expedition, but it was during the day, and we are going to do one at night. But I am scared for it because even we go to cemeteries a lot. We visit his friend there. And if it's starting to get dark, I can feel the spirits coming alive because I'm an empath and psychic. So I'm like, I need to get out of here. It freaks me out, but I think it's really cool that you go out there at night and you're getting these responses and you use two different things, right? Spirit box and necromancer.
So it's called necrophonic.
Oh, necrophonic. Got it.
When I'm sitting in the truck, but when I'm out walking around, I use necrometer and spirit talker. I have all the fancy stuff and whatnot, you know, like all this SB7 stuff and everything. But so from being in the Marine Corps and, you know, I grew up hunting and I've been around a lot of things that'll ruin your hearing. So the apps really help out. And but using those in conjunction with like flashlights, REM pods that confirm what the app is saying is how I tested the validity of it, you know, because some people they say, oh, the apps aren't real. And I respect that. But you just can't deny it when you're getting, for example, last night, I had it say flashlight, then we'll light up the flashlight. So it took a while. I did a lot of testing and I made sure that I was leading the context of the conversation, that the apps weren't. And that's really helped out with proving to myself, because once again, I don't do this to prove it to other people. I proved to myself, you know. And it really lines up, and it's just it's amazing. It really is. I'm telling you.
Yeah, man. I mean, we just watched the one where Tyler brought you to his grave.
That's crazy. Awesome.
We were just watching that one. So that was pretty cool. Because people do wonder how the apps work and like if it could be legit, if it's just an algorithm in there. But Kate tried it, right?
What is a necromancer? Isn't that like a weird term for something? Is it someone who like loves the
It
dead?
It was a dark wizard, like in Lord of the Rings books. It was a dark wizard, necromancer.
Okay, yeah, I knew it had something to do with that.
When they say stuff like that, I'm like, not exactly spirits. All right, like a ghost hunter is more appropriate terminology. I don't do all that other stuff, you know. So
got you.
Yeah. Do you ever find that they have a sense of humor with you when they're interacting?
All the time. Like I'm probably the worst that I've seen that catches the banter, but that's because I enjoy bantering myself. You know, so I was at a cemetery one time and I'll probably turn red just even talking about it. But I was sitting in the truck doing necrophonic and it was going over the Bluetooth speaker and it was like, Chris. And so I'll repeat what I hear so people can hear it too. I said, Chris. And it said, home. And I'm like, home. And then it said, F me, boy, but use the whole word. Right. I'm like, you can't say that here. I couldn't believe it. Right. So bannery stuff all the time. That's what I like the most about it, right? You know, some people like to go out and get super scared, which I enjoy getting scared from time to time. You know, it keeps it lively, right? But I think the most interesting part is the banter and the having fun.
Have you ever seen anything move? I saw lights flickering in some of your videos where you were talking back and forth, like flick that light again or something, and it was like going back and forth, like you were communicating not just through the necrophonic thing, but through lights and stuff. Have you seen things move or have you seen ghost apparitions at this point?
So as far as like an all out, like person walking that you would think like what you would associate, most people, they commonly say things along the lines of, you know, when they ask, have you seen a ghost? They're like, do you see like a human, you know, just standing there? I've caught a lot of shadows, I guess, out of the corner of my eyes is mostly what I've seen. Now, there was one time where I do believe that I saw like a shadow type of thing walking in a cemetery, but it was just I'm always hesitant to say that because, you know, sometimes it's scary at night, right? Just like we were talking about before. And, you know, you're hyper alert, you know, and your senses are very strong. And sometimes I can honestly say that I think I've seen that shadow and a few others, but nothing like an all out like white figure of a person. Right. That makes sense.
Yes. Yeah.
And the flashlight.
Do you use the EVP? The electronic voice recorder thing that they use on like ghost hunters?
I don't do that. And the reason why I don't do that is because most of them, up to this point, which I do intend on bringing stuff to YouTube that's non-live content, right? But most of my stuff is live. So it's really most of the things that you see in the videos, as far as like EVP goes, that's all done like post-production. So they'll go through and enhance the audio, but I don't really have a means of necessarily doing that while I'm out and about.
Oh, I didn't realize most of them are live. She right. Showed some to me, but I didn't realize you're doing them. You stream those live?
Yes, sir. Every night.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all replays. So.
I'm wondering now if I've ever seen a live one. I think most of the ones I see are after, you know, they're uploaded to the channel. But that's crazy. I mean, you definitely have a lot of guts. Have you ever run into a human doing something really creepy in the cemetery? Like, have you caught?
Yeah, so I went to a cemetery in Houston one time And it was a new spot. I'm like, I was all excited, you know, and I pull in and I'm like, dang, there's a lot of cars here. What's going on? There's like people in robes walking in a straight line, carrying like a torch and stuff. One of them up front. I'm like, listen, I don't know what this is, but I don't want no part of it. So I just left to another one because that was weird. Right. And then I also went to a
late
place
night at the cemetery when you pulled up and seen this.
It was. And then I wanted to surprise everybody. So since I do these live, you know, I talked to people and I'm like, hey, we'll do something special for Friday the 13th. I went to a place called Demon Road in Huntsville, Texas. When I showed up there, there was a baby crib sitting in the middle of like the road that goes to the cemetery. There was a chair there, and then there was a dead chicken, right? And then next to a tree, there was a bag with chicken stuff inside of it, right? With flowers on top of it, and half the tree was burnt. It was listen, there is some weird stuff that people be doing. All right.
Listen, the baby crib, I would have quit right there. I would have never gone out again in my life. I might never go out now just because you told me about it.
But the reason why I did that is I showed up early because I'd never been there before. And, you know, when I stream, I got to make sure there's phone signal, right? And it was during the daylight when I showed up. I'm like, oh, God, this is weird. But by nighttime, it just got so much more weird after that.
Wow. That's good stuff right there.
Yeah, it gets interesting from time to time, that's for sure.
What I also like about your interactions is how respectful you are of spirits, because there are different types of ghost hunters, we'll say, or paranormal investigators. And some of them treat it more like they really are hunting the thing, like it's an enemy. And I have seen some maybe more demonic things sometimes come through, but normally you're interacting with spirits who seem pretty calm and you're pretty kind with them. And that's what initially stood out to me.
Right. And I'm not knocking anybody's style, but to me, I find it more effective that way. If you just treat people, it's like, so I walk through this world doing the same way, you know, you treat people the way you want to be treated until you don't, you know, sometimes people take that different routes, but same thing with what I would consider to be ghost hunting, you know, I haven't really seen anybody do it this way per se. I didn't have that much experience anyways before I got into this, but it seems like when I talk about not antagonizing, that seems to be more efficient. And then I think on top of the fact of doing it live, and while we're live, I always talk about the bigger picture is to give them a voice of living, help let their legacy live on. But number two, it's also for the people, you know. I've been at a low in my life. I know it's like to feel lonely and be mad at the world for being born and stuff. And we offer a spot for people to not have to feel that way and also practice being a good contributor to society in a positive way. So I think the fact of being respectful and then on top of why we do what we do to help the people side as well, I think that's the reason why I get so much activity. Does that make sense?
Yeah definitely.
Yeah. Right. What do your friends think and your family? Like, do they love that you're getting so much attention on TikTok, going out to cemeteries and speaking to the other side? Or like how's the crew around you?
So, you know, my daughter knows about it and she asked to go, you know, and if I do take her, it would obviously be not live, just do the human issues that I've had. But, you know, my family, I don't really talk much about TikTok and things like that. I'm, you know, I get shy about stuff like that. Right. But, the people that do know, they're always been supportive. And that's what I like the most. You know, they encourage me to be who I am because of the message. I think a lot of people believe in the message. Does that make sense?
Definitely. Yeah, sure.
Definitely. Yeah.
And now you used to run a nightclub, did you say, in Houston?
I was a general manager at a big country club down here in Houston for about 4 years before I went. That was right before COVID hit. And then when COVID hit is when I went full time with the gaming stuff on Facebook is where I started off at.
What game?
I used to play Call of Duty. I played this game called 5M, which is a kind of a role play version of GTA and a hunting game. And that's where I started off with TikTok, with the hunting game. I used to run around and hunt and then use a drill instructor voice whenever I was hunting the animals. And it was absolutely hilarious. That's how I got my first time.
We got to watch some of the old stuff, man. I haven't seen any of these. This stuff's on TikTok.
I didn't even know the background of that.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. But like I said, it's just for me, I've always been the outdoor type. I've always been like, I got to be moving, you know, to be content, but sitting behind a computer screen, it just never really worked for me too well. So I think that's why the gaming did not do good, but I'm glad that it played out the way that it did. So
do you go out every night now? Are you out every night? Wow. Yeah. Do you do repeat cemeteries, or are you always trying to scope new places? Like,
so I always try and throw in a mix of both, but I do revisit, right? And that's why I think it gets so bannery. And this is one thing that I suggest to you guys when you start going out. If you repeat visit places and just, in my experience, show the kindness, they end up, for lack of better terminology, rapport, relationship, friendship, whatever you want to call it. I think that actually develops, and you start getting a storyline per se, and not like a fake story, but what I mean is like they start to trust more, I guess is the best way to describe it in my experience. I always recommend that for sure.
Yeah, because we like going to cemeteries, and I do think, you know, the ones we visited several times, you feel more welcome.
That's right.
I don't know, it's just a vibe or something like that, but it could be what you're talking about right there, that whoever lives there is more inviting to you. You know, they know you, they're familiar with you now because you came there as a friend.
Right, especially, and then just like that story I was telling you earlier about that female spirit, right? I think they start to figure you out, you know, just know how bantery you are. Or, I mean, because, like I said, I understand that not everybody believes in this stuff. I get it. And I've been there myself. But I think that if you do believe in this stuff, you can probably associate with the fact that it's just like talking to people sometimes. I mean, you get into such doing this every night. And then, like I said, I go to two different spots tonight. It starts to become where I'll have conversations with them, but it's like talking to somebody else. So people are like amazed. They're like, oh my God, you're talking about the flashlight. And I'm like, hey, can you do me a favor and light that flashlight up if you've been stuck here for a while or whatever? Okay, thank you for telling me that. What about the reason why you just kind of go on through a conversation and you don't realize this. But I think that's through the work of going back there and earning that trust. Does that make sense?
Where do you want this all to lead?
I don't know. That's a good question.
No. That's how I live my life too. I'm kind of like in right now and whatever. I don't plan it. I don't plan it very much. I'm in right now and I'm doing what feels right. And what, so if that's the answer.
That's kind of where I'm at. I feel like there's a bigger picture. I don't know what it is, you know, but I'm noticing that as time progresses, like things start to become more clear. So at first, when I first started doing it, you know, talking and hearing the talk of the spirit box, I was kind of figuring it out myself, right? Like they would say things that didn't really make sense to me. And I'm learning that sometimes you're not just as connected when you go out and you talk with them. So some of the stuff doesn't make sense. Some of it does. But as time has progressed, I've noticed that conversations start lining up more. Use of the devices, it's more direct now. Instead of like, oh, that's so cool to see, right? It's more of a tool, I guess. And things just start to really dial in, I guess, would be the best way to describe it. And I'm curious to see where it goes. I don't know. I feel like there's a bigger picture. There's a reason, but I don't know what it is yet. I'm like you, sir, living life by the seat of your pants, you know?
Amen.
When we go to this one cemetery, the trees have such a magical quality, as if the life there underground is fueling them.
Or something, or they're protecting the life there or something like that. But it's so like, they're just more than trees. Like when you go in there, it's like there's more life in there than anywhere else we know, honestly. It's the one place we go where they're like, I don't know how to describe the trees. They're just like,
they also have someone who takes care of them a certain way, but they still just have a quality where you can tell they're connected to.
It's almost like they're alive. Like yeah, they're alive and they know you. I don't know. You know, I don't know what you think about that. I know you're a ghost hunter and you know, you believe in the ghosts, and I don't know what else you, Kate believes in everything. everything that possibly could ever have been in every storybook. And then I'm in the middle of somewhere. I don't really know.
I made him go, but he ended up loving it on a Bigfoot expedition. And we did these amazing calls, and we got a response. And and the group heard it. And most people, I think, were skeptics. I am not, but, you know, it was just a really cool experience. But we want to go and try out all different types of paranormal excursions. And but going out into cemeteries and abandoned buildings where there's hauntings, it's just a different thing. And I think you have to be spiritually protected as well. And I feel like you must, whether you're doing spiritual practices or you just have a light, a vibration that the negative entities can't touch. Like, you're getting through this untouched, which is incredible.
I mean, he's good vibes. You can tell he's good vibes. Are the videos, you don't see you really. Are there videos where you're in them? Or you don't, you always have it pointed away from you, right? Into the cemetery?
Throughout,
you got to get on camera, dude. You were made for the camera.
Throughout the stream, I end up flipping the camera around. So, you know.
Okay. I haven't watched all of them. She shows me stuff, not very often, though.
I mean, you do. It's usually on the graves and stuff like that, though.
That's right.
If I was a young Texas man with a silky smooth voice like that, I'd be dying for the camera. I'd be just a camera whore. Sorry. It seems like you don't curse very much, so I don't want to.
I cuss all the time.
Okay. You're being very well behaved for this podcast. We appreciate it.
But
I'd be dying for camera time if I was this guy.
I flip around and I'll
get a fucking hat like that. Even though no one wears them here, I'm gonna get a Stetson. I'm gonna start rocking that up here.
We're in Philly, if you ever come to the East Coast near Philly, we have to plan. We have to find maybe the cemetery we're talking about, or
we'll just ride behind you real quiet.
We would love to come one time.
Absolutely. So I've never been up to the East Coast. You know, I've kind of been like basically from Texas to Wisconsin and then over to the West. Right. But a lot of people have been asking about going to the East Coast, and there's some places I want to hit up over there. So I'm going to be hitting the road really soon. Thankfully to the people that watch on TikTok, all the lives and everything like that, that's what's enabling all this. So I also need to be more responsible about uploading to YouTube. Well, let's just say I haven't been the best of that, but that's something that I'm working on.
Okay.
I guess the thing is TikTok is the vertical shooting and YouTube's horizontal. And for me, that was causing issues of like, how do you do both? And how do you know? So is that kind of what is maybe slowing you down, is the horizontal versus vertical thing?
I would say editing would probably be one of the biggest pain in the tails for me. You know, it's just, it's a struggle when you have ADHD, especially really bad. And like I said, I've always got to be moving and stuff to sit down and like have to go through all this, but it's been a learning process, and I've actually made, I would say, steps in the right direction. Right. I uploaded one video with the intro instead of just typing words on a screen. Right. So we're starting to get there.
Nice.
And then I'm also looking at investing in one of them Sony A7S3s or whatever. And that's kind of what I would like to start. Maybe doing some Randonautica on top of a ghost.
What's that?
So it's an app. I don't even know how to describe it, but it's basically an app where you manifest, right? Like a something that you're looking for, and it'll generate a random point. And then you go to that point, and then you see if like what you're manifesting is there, right?
So you can say like Bigfoot, and then it's going to get a point for you, and you go there and check it out.
Right. That's the theory of it. Now, once again, I've never played this before, right? I've just seen videos of it. And obviously sometimes, you know, some of it's for entertainment purposes, but I'm curious. I want to try some of that. I think that'd be kind of cool. Yeah. You know,
you're living on the edge, but that is very cool.
Kate got the apps. Once she hit you up on TikTok and figured out what you're using, she got the apps and was messing with them, messing around. It was creeping me out too much. When we're in the house and she's getting response, I'm like, I don't want the shit in my house. Yeah. I'm like, if they're here, I don't want to hear it here because I'm too scared. But like, if we go out places, I'll do that. But she did get the apps and had some fun.
They are here. You just have to stop it.
I want to be able to sleep tonight.
I started off doing Spirit Talker in the house. That's how all this came about. But I had very different boundaries. And this kind of leads into what you're talking about protection means. My belief in a higher authority, right? My spirit guide, and then my boundaries. I believe that we as living can have the authority to draw a line in the sand. So when I say that's it, you know, but I stopped doing it in my house too. Once I started going out to all these places, because you got to have that spot, you know, doing this every night, you just got to have that place where you just go home. You're like, all right, I'm good.
Well, look, if they changed the voice on the thing, that would be better, but she was using whatever demon voice it was.
I love that voice so much. I don't know.
Everyone's like, get out. And I'm like, I'm in, it's my house. I'm like, leave me alone. I was like, put that thing down. I almost smashed your cell phone. I get scared, man. I do. I get shook up.
I love it.
But I think it's fun, though. I think it's a good time.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
So you were in the Marine Corps? Like, was that right? Like, when did that happen? And like, how did that ease into the being running the club thing? Like, how did it all go?
been a really interesting history. Yeah, so I started off when I was 18. I worked inside of a jail here in Houston. Then I left there to go to the Marine
That's
Corps.
badass, bro. Wait, how long did you do that for?
I did it from, let's see, probably about a year and a half before I enlisted in the Marine Corps.
That got to make you pretty hard, though, to hang out with the prisoners and everything.
So,
And
you know, I worked at a county jail, but Harris County, which is Houston, a big county, right? But I didn't go actually in the pods with them. I was at the processing center where they first came in off the road. So when they were getting all drunk and snatched up. So we fought a lot, right? But I left that to go to the Marine Corps. And then
after you got them when they're all tuned up. That's the hardest job there is.
So fun. I'm not going to lie to you, right? But you just, it's good to learn. It was really effective at learning like ways like communication, effectively communicating with people and understanding verbal judo, I guess, for lack of better wording, right? So that really helped out with that. And then the Marine Corps. Then after that, I was the police in Georgia. And then I moved back home to Texas. I got into oil and gas. And then I did that for a while till the prices fell out. And then what did I do next? Sales and marketing manager at a company in Houston. And then a general manager, right? And it was really fun, right? I enjoyed it. But when COVID hit, it was over.
I'm seeing you on a TV show, Don. whether it's your own or if it's like you're the next Bachelor, because I could see you as the next Bachelor too. And then, you know, if it's something
I
like
make
that.
Him watch The Bachelor. And yes, you actually would be the best Bachelor because it all gets boring. There's no paranormal stuff.
Yeah, we'll just add that equation, yeah.
He's got the charm. He's had all the jobs. He's done it all. I'm not saying he's got to be the Bachelor right now. I'm just saying, I can picture that.
Yeah.
I didn't ask about his love life or anything. I'm not going to go dig deep like that on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm not married, right. And then to be honest with you, like, I don't have much of a dating life anymore. Anyways, I'm out every night ghost hunting, you know, so it's been.
Oh, my gosh. He's the most eligible Bachelor ever. Oh my God, he's gonna find the love of his life. 30 of the hottest ladies we can find. Jesus,
that would be such a more fun Bachelor. Like they all have to go to the cemetery and you see like what girl can hang the most, you know. She gets the most contact from like the spirits, and the spirits have to approve of her. That's how you know.
Because you don't watch The Bachelor, do you?
No, I don't really watch much TV, to be honest with you.
Well,
I watch
good for you. You shouldn't. But my wife shows it to me. It's amazing. I got to tell you, at first I made fun of it. Now I just, you know, I end up crying in a lot of episodes. It's heartwarming. It's ups and downs. And it's, but your season, I'm in.
Yeah, you reckon we'll have to see if we can make that work, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So you're gonna have to go in the cemetery. I need you to blindfold yourself, and then I need you to put these headphones on, and I'm gonna ask questions standing far away from you. All right, but I need you to repeat what you're hearing and the little Estes method. Yeah,
that's amazing. We're gonna see which one of these ladies is up to the task.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I feel like it'll slim it down quick because, like, you can't really fake bravery in certain situations. It's, you know, and you're always putting yourself in situations like, you know, being an officer in a jail, police officer, Marine Corps. Now you're out in these cemeteries late at night. That's all really intense. And by the way, I do think when you do get to YouTube, that is going to be very successful for you.
I think I've been wasting. I was doing really good about uploading these replays. And they actually do okay. You know, I get the comments of like, you talk too much. It's because a lot of people don't realize that they're live, right? They're just live replays. So I started adding that into the front. I'm like, hey, listen, there will be non-live stream content coming soon. But I think YouTube, you know, TikTok's really trendy, right? I think that once you get a certain point, you don't have to worry about that as much. But YouTube is definitely the place for sustainable long-term income, right? Or revenue, I guess would be the smartest thing. If I could go back and do anything different, I would have invested as much into YouTube as I have to TikTok so far, right? And just equally done that as I progress. But that's why I want to invest in a camera and then start adding some of that non-live stream content, because it's just a whole different dynamic over on YouTube. You know, people don't want all the conversation. People don't want to hear me, yo, thank you for the roses. Yo, thank you for this. Thank you for that. Let's go, Laterator, you know, and get all excited and motivated. They just want calm. They want to watch, you know, and they want to see the evidence. And I respect that side of it too. So if I could go back, I would definitely invest as much But that's something that I would like to, that's one of my personal goals that I set for myself over the next few months, is to dial YouTube in more, because I've got up to 25 or 26,000, I think, subscribers on YouTube. And that's just off the replays and the shorts. So, definitely I've made it a wasted resource that I really need to
dump. I mean, that's definitely a good start, you know, especially for you not putting your resources into it. And a lot of the, you know, a lot of the people you find are TikTok famous or Instagram famous or YouTube famous. They're just that. And I don't know why, because it should translate to all three.
Really. Absolutely.
But a lot of the time they only really hit with one for some reason. And then, but no, I definitely think it could translate if you're putting your time and energy into the other.
Right. And that's been a bit a goal that I've decided to implement for myself. It's just because I want this to be successful. I want to be a face of social media for positivity. Right. And whether you believe in something, whether you don't believe or something, you can always have a home in my live streams or part of the videos or whatever it may be. Because, you know, every algorithm goes to negativity because it's drama, you know, and there has to be some sort of counterbalance for that. And I want to be that. Right. And I want that positive stuff, because, I mean, look at the shape that we're in now as a country. You know, everybody's divided for the. Not on the brink of mass destruction or anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm not paranoid, right? But I do believe that there's more incentive for like media and things to create division than there is bring people together. And you'll see it through tragedies or big events. You know, like when we had Hurricane Harvey here in Houston, I stayed out searching and helping people for 3 days straight. You know how many people came together? And it was just naturally, right? People of the community just came together, and we could do that daily, you know? And so that's what the bigger picture is, and that's what I strive to do. And I need to be utilizing every resource I have available to pass that message along, right?
And I think you will do it pretty seamlessly. I'm just, you know, tuning into the psychic vibe stuff. Right. I think it just takes that, you got to like put it into the schedule. Okay, doing the YouTube thing now. And it's annoying, but then once you get it, yeah, I think it's worth it, because TikTok's great. I love TikTok. I can scroll for hours, honestly.
It's where we get all our news from. We don't watch the news. When we do the podcast and she makes up the topics, the news is from the TikTok videos.
But Chris, be honest, don't most of the top news stories come through TikTok first?
Absolutely. That's why I was I'm so glad that, you know, TikTok and ByteDance or whatever decided to like pursue this of not banning TikTok, you know, with taking it and everything like that. And the process of that is going to take so long. It's going to take, 3-4 years probably to even get a ruling on it. But by then, you know, people already be past the whole banning thing. Like, no, we're not banning TikTok. I think it's a very good resource. Now, I do think that there is danger to a degree of, you could just say what you want. And then, but that's a society problem. Like, we should always be investing resources, time, and energy, and running behind things that we hear. You know, just like in the streams, I'll tell people, trust but verify. And that goes to me too. You should be running behind me, making sure that what I'm doing is staying in line with legitimate, you know, even though I would never betray that, you know what I'm saying? But I always encourage people to research into things, right? And I try to teach my daughter the same.
How old is your daughter?
15.
That's
right.
Exciting.
Make me an old man, you know what I'm saying? God dang. They grow too
fast.
We're
old too.
Yeah.
We're right there with you.
Yeah.
My son's off to college and he's going to be coming along on some of the paranormal excursions, because I think people need to experience that reality isn't what we were taught.
Right.
Maybe some people were raised in a pretty hippie out there environment where they knew that there's another side, but I feel like, what'd you say?
I wasn't raised like that at all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, my parents were like Southern Baptists, you know, but never to the point of like walking this really strict line. You know, I was always kind of, when I got bored, I got mischievous, you know, and I've done my fair share having fun and whatnot. But it really, I'm telling you, what drew me this in the first place, I've always kind of felt like something could be out there. And looking back now, knowing what I've learned now up to this point, there probably was a lot of involvement in that through the Marine Corps, through police work, that I just didn't realize. And but it was the initial of like seeing videos on YouTube and being like, no way, no chance. You know what I'm saying? And then trying it out for myself. That's how I got to this point. So
no, that's exactly where I'm at. Kate's been a Manhattan comic, you know, for like 10 years, but she was doing comedy / paranormal stuff for a long time. And she's been trying to get stuff together like that. She's trying to mix the two. And I'm no paranormal dude. I don't know anything about that. But like, I'll crack jokes at the things that we go to, and I'll be scared. And I think you can mix the comedy with the paranormal. We just, you know, we got some people who can be real serious, and then we can lighten it up, and then we can get back to the serious and lighten it up. And I think it's a good mix. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to get into. I mean, you've been into it, Kate.
No, but I'm trying to. I'm doing actual expeditions now. We've only done one so far, but we're planning more, and we're going to film them. I need to get better with technology. I'm 43. I'm a bit of a. I'm not a grandma yet, but I feel like I have grandma brain compared to like what people can do with tech now, and then you've got AI, and I'm just like, wait, I know Photoshop. Like, I'm like still excited. Right. I learned that 20 years ago.
Hell yeah.
So I'm just trying to keep up, and like, you know, for a little bit I was doing the YouTube videos regularly, but then I slacked, like just keeping up with the podcast and doing video clips can be a lot of energy. You know, I get low energy levels, so I have to be very picky about what I do, but yes, we're going out on these expeditions now, and I'm excited to see what we experience. Like I said, we already got Sasquatch responses, and he was not a believer at all. So
I'm with you. It's not that I'm not a believer, but I'm very skeptical of that too. You know what I'm saying? So I would love to go up there. Like I said, I'll be traveling around, you know, going to different places. And I would love to get up that way, and then we can go run around, do some.
I mean, yeah, we'll definitely throw you an invite if we come up with something, and you're going to be up this way.
Absolutely.
But you let us know, and we can plan something for sure.
Yeah.
But, and we've never been, have you been to Texas?
I have been to Texas. I went to the beach in Texas, like near Mexico on a spring. I forget what the hell it was called.
South Padre Island, maybe. That's kind of a popular tourist spot. You
maybe,
know?
Maybe. I drank pretty heavily back then.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's a good time.
I know it was awesome. And there are a lot of hot Texas girls with Southern accents.
That can be a thing, for sure.
I mean, I don't like that now. I'm happily married. But back then, I was down with that shit.
Of course.
It was a good time back then.
Yeah.
When in your 20s? He was a monster.
I'm not a monster. I was a lovable monster.
See, there you go.
You were a monster, I'm sure. I mean, you know, like a good-looking dude in his 20s and like a spring breaky attitude can be trouble.
They're pretty much all monsters. It's not my fault.
Yeah, I'm not saying like you're rare in that way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But I get it. Because I feel like I've never been to Texas, but I would love to go and try it out.
I feel like I belong in Texas.
If you guys ever
when I see Chris, I'm like, I belong with a guy like him wearing a hat like that.
Yeah.
Chilling. I just think it's good vibes, man. It's not good vibes up here.
The wintertime. Trust me. All right. The wintertime in Central Texas. We call it the Hill Country. It's absolutely beautiful. And there's a lot of history there, like Civil War history, Native American history, all that good stuff. So yeah, if you guys ever want to come down the wintertime, you let me know too, and I'll make sure and direct you on where we can meet up and stuff. So
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, I would love to be able to travel because I think it's awesome that you can do this also for a living, because I was a full-time comedian and then I went back to teaching and now I'm doing both. But I would love to be able to do the paranormal comedy. I'll still do my stand-up shows and everything. But that's what I want to do, and just travel and go just even throughout the U.S. I don't even need to leave the country right now. I'm not feeling that actually right now. I'm a little.
Listen, when we get big, it's going to be castles. That's all I want to do, dude. I want to do a fucking castle in like Geneva. Is that a place where there's a castle? I don't know. It sounded like it.
Or the pyramids in like Egypt or something. Could you imagine?
Hell yeah.
Holy shit, yeah.
So this is good. We're dreaming. We're dreaming big right now. And I like, it feels like it's right around the corner to me. I don't know.
I want to go looking for UFOs. Like, I connect to a lot of enlightened alien groups, and people have called me crazy. I've been doing alien jokes on stage for over a decade, and they weren't fully accepted at first. People were like, oh, this bitch is crazy, you know? So now I really want to go, because people are getting such awesome footage of different UFOs in the sky.
You know, that'd be kind of cool to go to. Maybe we can sneak in.
Where did you just say?
Area 51.
Oh, that's guarded though. That's crazy guarded. Like,
dude, he's a Marine. I'm pretty big. I could help him, but like he's very manly. He could maybe help us get in.
They taught us in the Marine Corps it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission, you know. So I'm sure how far that would go under that circumstance, but I'll leave the test dummy.
And I'll follow you. Listen, I'm not the first dude to go in, but if there's a really manly man, I'll go right behind him. So I'll be right behind you.
So the federal government, if you're listening, all right, we're just joking. I'm not gonna sneak an area, but don't come knocking on my damn door. Yeah.
That would be awesome.
This is a comedy podcast, federal government. It's a comedy.
It's a comedy. However, if they come knocking about Area 51, you need to call us immediately and they can take us. No, what if they captured us? And we don't want to go to Area 51 if we're going to become slaves and prisoners in Area 51.
I don't think they do that to they make human prisoners. But is that like, did you see that on a channel, a TV show?
I watched a video just recently, as a matter of fact, where some dude, he snuck in Area 51 and stayed there for like a week, but he was, it wasn't for like activity on the UFO side or figuring out what the government was doing. He was chasing some sort of trail of like people that came through like way back in the day when people first started settling here. I didn't really pay much attention, to be honest with you, because I was just doing other stuff. But I was like, you snuck on Area 51 and stayed there for a week, camped out, and then left, right, and made it through. So wrote a book about it too. Like I said, I didn't pay much attention, but I thought it was kind of cool. I was like, well, damn, if he can get in Area 51, I should be able to too. Yeah.
Totally. We need to talk to this guy.
I know, right?
I'd be scared shitless. If we actually got in, I'd be scared shitless. I'd be the weak link on any of these missions.
Low crawling everywhere, you know, worried about people catching us. Yeah. Like, it's been 2 days and we've only made it a mile. Like, maybe we should turn around.
And she's walking straight up. She's like, you little bitch. That's the kind of stuff that happens to me.
I would be scared of Area 51 just because I do think it's probably one of the most protected sites. Right. And the government does scare me to a degree because I know how much power they have. And I, you know, I'm not one of those people that's like, they only have our best interests at heart, you know.
I'll tell you that, that's for sure.
So I'm not trying to fuck with them because I'm scared of them. But at the same time, I want to keep pushing for the truth because the way life is can be so boring sometimes, you know, like it's just not healed yet. The vibes on Earth are getting there. Like those of us who are very positive and trying to bring those vibes, it is working and it's happening. But I just feel like things need to shift. And some of that's just like less boredom, following your dreams, going for it, you know?
Mm.
I do what I do, right? Got to stay busy and have fun.
Hell yeah.
So what do you feel? I didn't mean to get political, but you kind of brought this up and I don't care whatever you say here. How do you feel about Biden dropping out and Kamala?
So my stance on this is pretty much every politician is evil, right? And I agree. I do stand behind that. This whole, like, just from the very minimal that I see, right? Once again, I'm not some guy who just sits around and watches it all the time, you know, but I do remember seeing that this Biden dude was our president that we have currently was not able to really complete sentences and things like that. And obviously, you know, he's just getting older, right? It just happens.
Right.
I don't really know much about Kamala Harris. I don't really know enough to make an educated, I guess.
She can complete the sentence, you know, which is important.
And I think that it'd be cool for progression wise to have a female president and things like that. But I just don't know if she's necessarily what I would consider to be qualified for it. I just, once again, I'm not as educated as I should be to make a stance. But judging off what I know now, I think our country, the first thing we need to do is fix our national debt and we need to get our economy back in good standing order. Right. People need to be successful. People need to flourish, to make money. And I think that should be the most priority before anything else, you know? That's the best I know how to word it, right? I just don't get too wrapped up in politics, you know? Because
he doesn't either.
I don't watch it at all. I hate when she has a topic about politics on the, my face kind of changes. I try not to. I try to hold my face normal, but like it always kind of, I'm like, because it feels like the comedy comes to a screeching halt whenever she asks about the, but she has to because what's going on in the world. But I have no answer for her. I have nothing.
I can tell you this. I was super inspired by somebody who took a bullet to the ear and stands up and yells, fight, right? That motivates me. That tells me that there's leadership capabilities there. But once again, you know, you're dealing with politicians. They're all evil. What's the least evil out of all the evil? I guess
I didn't really fuck with them until I saw that. But when I saw that, I was like, America, you know, like that. That shit got me hyped, man.
It was also just, and I'm not a Trump fan, but and someone showed a video that if it had happened like a second earlier, the way his head was tilted, he would have gotten shot. So there was, in my opinion, spiritual protection happening there. Because, yeah, it just skimmed him. He got very, very lucky. But I think, yeah, he was being protected. And with Kamala, I'm happier that she stepped up. I love the thought of a female president. But once again, I'm not getting too invested because I do agree most politicians are not my...
Yeah. Fortunately, that's the way it is. But as long as you keep mixing money, I mean... They were talking about how Kamala raised like $80 million in a day. Now, I'm sure that's probably some of the investments that were in with Biden transferring over, right?
Right.
But still, that's what are we doing? Why are we dumping $80 million into an election when we've got trillions of dollars of debt for the country? Like, where are our priorities? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, it makes no damn sense. And that frustrates me, right? Because you're so worried about getting yourself elected, but you're not truly caring about the country that you're supposedly stepping in office to protect, right? If you're spending money on yourself to go campaign. But, you know, I'm not going to be able to change that. And I don't think anybody can, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. That's a lot. $80 million? I mean, good God.
I could use
that. And that's in a day or whatever.
Yeah, it just makes no sense to me. But I'm more simplistic once again. You know, I try to focus more on the things that I can do to just hopefully help spread positivity and whatnot, you know. But I do agree that there was some sort of intervention with Trump. And I can tell you, when rounds start flying at you, you'll find out what you're made of real quick, you know. And to stand up and y'all fight, that's just such a crazy image, isn't it? Not only the history in that, I mean, when's the last time somebody made an assassination attempt? 80s, I think, right? 82, maybe?
Yeah, it was Reagan, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, we witnessed world history, you know, just over the past few weeks. It's been a crazy, crazy ride for sure.
They did let that guy out who shot Reagan, like,
really?
2015, something like that, yeah.
Oh, shit.
He was an NGRI. He was not guilty by reason of insanity. Yeah, they let him out.
As long as he don't have access to any firearms, we'll be all right, yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, I guess this will be one of the last questions. Do they not lock cemeteries at night? I'm not saying we're going to do that anyway. I'm too scared to go at night. Sorry, what were you saying?
That's a really good question.
Do they lock it or can you just go in?
So people ask us all the time, right? And the answer is it depends. You know what I'm saying? I hate to be evasive like that. But it all depends on where I'm at, what the county ordinances, city ordinances, state law. Private property, public property. There's so many variables to that. Posted signs, right? If there's no signage, you know what I'm saying? At least you'll get a warning.
It's too dark to read the sign.
You know what I'm saying? Is it noticeable?
Like, what are you talking about? It's 3:00 in the morning. I can't read a sign.
That's the benefit of being the police. Would a reasonable and prudent person be able to see this sign? You know what I'm saying? So I don't really push the boundaries.
Oh,
now,
you were the police. So now you're like, you've been on the other side of that before.
I did that after the Marine Corps for 4 years. I was a police in Georgia, the state of Georgia. But there's so many variables to it. However, you know, being police before, I also know how to talk to police officers, right? So most of the places that I go to that could be questionable or not, the police know I'm there, right? I'm like friends with dispatchers and everything. I'll call them up and be like, hey, I'm going over here tonight. Y'all cool with that or whatever? So I always make sure that I try and stay within the guidelines of the law. But you got to remember, too, at least here in the state of Texas, you have to be warned before you get arrested for trespassing, unless there's clearly marked reasons for you not to be on the property. So let's say I'm at a cemetery. It's closed or whatever, you know, and somebody shows up and they're like, hey, you need to leave. I'm calling the police, which has happened before. Now, that place said open 24 hours online. Right. So I felt like I was right anyways, but I ended up just leaving out of respect. I'm not going to stay on somebody's property after they ask you to leave. But even if the police did show up, there's nothing they could do because I not received a criminal trespass warning. Right. So it just kind of depends on how you play it. But you got
to
make
sure this is how you can do this. You used to be the police and now you kind of know all the rules. And you're friends with all the dispatchers. And because we were wondering with all these videos, how's this dude getting into these cemeteries in the middle of the night every night?
And not all of them. Like even so there's a place in Lampasas, Texas that I go to. I didn't even know anybody there. So I just went up to the police department at like midnight and I'm like, hey, so my name is Chris. What I do is I stream on TikTok for a living and I talk to ghosts. I know that you guys have a cemetery and I saw that the gates were open. I just want to confirm if it's okay for me to be there. And some places they're cool with it. Most places have actually been cool with it, but there has been like maybe one town that I've gone to where I asked and they're like, no, you need a permission slip from City Hall. I'm like, first off, I don't do permission slips. I'm 40 years old. You know what I'm saying? And then I just go to a different spot. So,
yo, they are stone cold in that town because you are a charmer, Chris. I don't think anybody could turn you down. I need to meet these people, the ones who said no to you when you came in there like that, said, I'm a TikToker. I do this with that smile and everything.
Always,
I don't know who turned you down, brother.
I always try and pitch it too. Like, hey, I bring awareness to your town, you know? So there's a small town that I went to that's super poor. It used to be a thriving town. But I talked to like the guy was on the fire department. He was the head of the cemetery, like a crew or whatever. And then also like the streets department guy, like he's all in one. But I told him what I did and he's like, anything to drive traffic to this town. So while I was there, you know, I made sure I mentioned the town a lot and things like that. So that's also good for the little towns, but you know, obviously if you go to Houston, they don't care, right? It's just a matter of watching for signage, I think. And obviously now if they have closed gates and it's clearly not okay to be there, I don't go, I won't, because I don't want to go to jail either, you know? So, but I will ask. If I don't ask, it's because there's not signage and there's not any kind of barricade that makes me believe that I don't need to be there. And a reasonable person would walk up and be like, oh yeah, it's fine to be here. So it all depends, right? Depends on where.
Nice.
So if we went out.
That was a great answer.
Yeah, great answer.
I thought it'd be really short. Like, no, they don't have any many fences. I thought it'd be something real quick like that, but you broke it down. That's nice.
So this out here in Philadelphia, do you think we would have to drive to the police first and say, we're going to be out in this cemetery?
I get arrested right away when I step into the police station. I don't have the charm that Chris has. I can't walk right in and just say, we're going to this cemetery. They're like, get down on your knees.
Okay, like too late. Here we go. All right, hands behind your back. But this is where it depends, right? So I've seen where some laws, somebody was talking about a law somewhere. So I looked it up. In Utah, they have a law. You can't be in a cemetery after dark. It was like a state law. But it's only on public property cemeteries. So
I think that's the law we have here.
Well, I'll just make sure
you can't be in a cemetery after dark. The ones that we go to, they have signs that say you can't be there after dark. I think that's common. Like our parks do that. You can't be in the park after dark.
But I'll tell you this too, and it exists a lot. And this is how I was as a police. I was real big on officer discretion. You know, not everybody deserves to go to jail, no matter, you know what I'm saying? If you're nice and friendly and you just can tell that you're not out there like robbing the place or stealing brass or you know, whatever, camping out, being like doing bad stuff, you know, most of the time if you interact with the police over that, they're gonna be nice, right? Then they're not gonna go out there because who really cares, you know what I'm saying? Right? Like if you live in a big city and you're part of a big city, I'm sure there's a lot of crime that's happening, so you're busy, you know. That's how it was when I was a police. It was super busy where I was at. You didn't have time for the petty stuff, you know? So usually if it's just nice.
What city were you in, Chris?
Albany, in Georgia. Albany, Georgia.
Albany, Georgia?
Yeah. So and it was like the second.
Is that where a college? Is there a college in that town?
There is. And there's also a Marine Corps logistics base too.
What college is in that town? That it reminds me of
Albany State, maybe.
Okay, got you. I went to Georgia Tech. Okay. For like a semester, so I kind of know like colleges.
Yeah, it is the second highest crime rate city in the state of Georgia at the time, and like three times smaller than Atlanta. Right, so it was a very very high crime place for sure.
Man.
But you're so busy dealing with the real crime, right?
Doing beatdowns. Too busy doing beatdowns to do anything else.
About beatdowns, we're too busy running from call to call, man. Like I think we had maybe on average a shooting or stabbing 5 or 6 times a week. Like it was ridiculous, right?
Oh, that's the calls you're running to? Domestic disturbance, somebody screaming, throwing pots out the window? Like you're just going to stabbings and murders?
It was all most of what I dealt with was the dope side of things, like the drug stuff. So it was a really big drug infested hub, I guess you could say, between like Florida and Atlanta. So it was a very high crime right there. But as far as college, I never dealt with that. They had college police. I was just mostly out in the city. You know what I mean?
Got you.
I have to now bring this up. Did you see the Sonya Massey video thing? The woman who got shot?
I saw part of it with no audio. So I don't know the context of what the officer was said. I do have an opinion on the matter. I think that if you or a person that you care about or an innocent person is under the threat of death or serious bodily injury, you have the right to use lethal force to do that. But I don't think that's always the answer, right? I don't think the lady could have thrown. Once again, I didn't hear any audio, but I saw where she threw the pot of water, and that looked like a big pot. I don't think she would have the capabilities of throwing it very far.
I don't think she threw it, though, because I was watching it slow-mo, and I think she had it in her hand. It wasn't a very threatening vibe. She, you know what I mean? Like, because I watched it a bunch, and I was like, where did he get scared? You know what I mean? Because obviously, he had to get scared to do that.
Right. I can see where the water hit the ground and the steam coming up off of it. But once again, it was still away. It was away from him. You got to remember, a pot's heavy. It's not like you can just take a pot full of water, hot water, and just casually throw it, you know?
But she was already going down with her hands up. I just felt like some dudes, and look, there are lots of maniacs in our society in general, you know? So some dudes get into the police force and they're just kind of fucked in the head a little bit. And somehow they got in and he was way too trigger happy. But for some reason, I watched the video. I was trying to avoid it because it's just heartbreaking. And then I did watch it, and I try to watch those things fairly, but I was just like, yeah, that's fucking wrong.
I didn't watch this one in particular, but like a lot of the time, it seems to me it'd be so hard to be a cop, especially in a high crime rate area, because you got to be aggressive going into those places, or else you're going to be scared as shit. You got to go in there with balls, you know, kind of run in there hard, or else they're going to run all over you.
Absolutely.
You know, these people ain't taking no shit.
Yeah, but you have to have balls, but you have to have a temperament where, like, he shot way before there had it. Like,
And I'm saying a lot of the time I they do make the wrong decision, but you're judging it in like such a little window, like of what they have to put up with. I'm sure is like so difficult to stay level and to stay. You don't know what the rest of the dude's day was like, or like if he's completely drained or. I don't know. I'm just saying it's so hard to call when you got like a tiny video and to know what's going on. That's because they are doing such a difficult job, but you make a mistake and it is somebody's life. So it's like, yeah, you gotta be real careful on both sides.
She called them for help. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I did see where she went down the ground, but when she threw it was actually when the officer moved around to see what she was doing on the ground. Right. So I don't think that was the appropriate course of action by any means, right? I do stand behind that 100%. I would not have made that call, right? But once again, you know, here we are. And this is one of the biggest reasons why I got out of police work, because you'll find that a lot of these incidents, there's only a small video clip that you're judged off of. Now, I don't think necessarily in this one because you have full body camera, but judging what you were saying, most of the time you can be sacrificed by everybody over a 30-second video clip. You know, it's not worth it, because at the end of the day, I'm going to defend myself and I'm going to defend the life of somebody that's innocent, without a doubt, right? I will lay my life down for the life of somebody else that's innocent, with no questions asked. But in police work, it's so volatile now, you know, where, God, you just got to worry about the media and protecting yourself. And just like you said, when you work in the hood, you better be able to hold your own, you know, because they're going to try you 100%. And but I do agree with what you were saying as well, ma'am, that you can be tough, you can be witty, and you can treat people the way that they treat you. And that's what I found to be the most effective style for police. And when I worked in the hood, you know, because they will shoot at you and they will try to get you without a doubt. And not think twice, you know.
And it's how you are in the cemeteries, too. It's I'm treating them as I want them to treat me. And I think it's why it's been so successful.
I agree.
It's awesome.
But I do agree with you. I don't think I probably would have resorted to other means. I don't, But see, I can't even guarantee you, and it's so hard to Monday morning quarterback this, but I can tell you this, the power of words and understanding that sometimes people have mental health issues. I'll give you an example. I got a call. I kept getting a call for service of a lady who kept thinking somebody was in her attic and coming down the attic and doing weird stuff, right? Officers would respond. We'd respond and be like, there's nobody there. We check the attic. Finally, right? If you get innovative enough, I just pulled out my radio and then I started making a beeping noise with it on the side button. And then I started making it like beep quicker when I got close to the attic. And I went up there and I just threw a bunch of stuff around the attic while I was up there. And I said, okay, ma'am, I got this guy. He's inside this radio. I'm taking him out. And never got a call from her again. You see what I'm saying? So there's other ways to handle it. Oh. You don't have to shoot somebody over it. You know what I'm saying? But
That's a good move, man. That's a good move.
You know, and you get a longer term solution to a problem, and then you don't have to use force to do it, you know? So I think it's important that you don't always result to dropping the hammer.
Yeah, like you really want to throw this old confused lady into a jail cell. You know what I mean? She's having a hard enough time already. So yeah, I feel that.
Yeah, it's having kindness, like leading with that, you know, but obviously you have to still have the bravery and the balls to do all the different jobs. Maybe not every single one took as much bravery. I don't know, the manager.
I still believe in society that there's that respect for just common courtesy. You know, once again, I know that we see things differently on social media, on media in general, right? I know that there's a presentation, but in my experience of dealing with thousands and thousands of people I've dealt with throughout my careers, I would say 90% of those people were just good natured people, right? Like, you know, they may talk shit on TikTok, they may talk shit on whatever, but at the end of the day, when you're face to face with a person, you just get that good old fashioned, like, hey man, what's up? You know?
I mean, I think that might be the vibes you're throwing though, that you're getting 90%. I get a good percentage. It ain't 90. I get 80, but I don't, if I had this Southern charm, that would push me to 90 maybe.
You both have the charm. I'll be listening. He'll be talking to me with his AirPods in, delivering and stuff. And he's the friendliest dude. I'm like yelling at him for it. I'm like, was she hot?
When I'm at work.
And he'll be like, no, she's 60. Because he's just making friends with everyone. But it is a good way to be. I'm a little crankier these days than I used to be. But I do think it's a good outlook to just go out and put positive vibes and make friends.
You should betray your own morals, right? I don't let people trespass against what I stand for and things like that. You know, when it's time to flip that switch, I'll do it, you know. But I think everybody deserves kind of a fair shake right off the rip until they prove otherwise, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah, we agree. Thank you so much, Chris, for joining our podcast and coming on. Where can people find you?
So on TikTok at Chris Netzel Official and YouTube the same. I got a Twitter. It's all the same, right? So that's where I hang out at every night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time for the first one and 1:30 a.m. for the second one. Two locations a night, yeah.
See, that's
so
why I didn't know.
Subscribe to Chris's YouTube,
fleet.
People.
Yes, go
we're,
to
we're
going to
start blowing up on YouTube, people. Subscribe to Chris's YouTube.
How do custom orders work on Kraken? Imagine I'm a music producer dialing in my newest track. Need more bass? Crank it. Vocals not popping? Double it up. Want a bigger sound? Hit that reverb. Hard. That's custom orders on Kraken. Complete control over your crypto trades. Go to kraken.com and see what crypto can be. Don't invest unless you're prepared to lose all the money you invest. This is a high-risk investment and you should not expect to be protected if something goes wrong.